There we go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Big Footy Tigercast. Hope you're doing well. Just took a little bit for the program to load up to load into the show, but no, we're here now. We are live and good to go. So welcome to everybody. JD, welcome. Tiger Pop, Kane, Maha, Raymond. Oh, in Thailand, 30 degree evening. My goodness, how lucky are you? Jesus, any danger of sending some of that heat and sunshine over here to Melbourne? Hope everybody is doing well. Now, I am at this point in time flying solo tonight. But that's okay. We can push on and make do. Yeah, I think so, Kane. I think so. CB's got a bit on. Tiggs has had a big day from rehab, which is fair enough. So he's got to get himself good to go. And Grok hasn't seen my message for about 5 hours, so he must be out for the count in some capacity. But that's all right. Just me and all of you. We can make it work. It is no stress at all. Yes, RFC, yep, running solid tonight. So if I'm a bit slack in putting up comments, that's going to be why I can be. It's easy to do when there's multiple people on because they can talk, I can read and click. But yeah, that's okay. They've all got things on, so that is all good. Hopefully everyone tuned in to last night's surprise trade show. If you didn't check that one out, make sure you have a look on our YouTube page. I think it's still on Facebook as well. So Tiggs and I jumped on last night for about 25 minutes. To put to bed, well, not so much me, but Tiggs put to bed the dusty rumours that the Ox put out there. Spoke about Liam Baker, spoke about Jack Graham, and mentioned a midfielder's name who just to keep an eye out for, LDU. So not maybe he didn't necessarily link him to us, but it was more of a that he could be on the way out of North Melbourne, I suppose. So. Make sure you check that out if you haven't already. And while you're over on YouTube, make sure you give a subscribe as well. I think we're on 841 subscribers on the way towards 900 and then 1,000, which would be good. But yeah, if you're on YouTube, make sure you give that a look. All right, well, we'll crack on with it. The Reliable Michaels. I know, so, what is it, 17, 18, 19, 21, 7 or 8 years we've been doing it for. I don't think I've missed a show. See, essentially, the problem is, Lady Hawk, is... If I miss the show actually can't work because I'm the only one with the keys to the car. So Chief hasn't given the keys to anybody else. So it's it's me or bust. But oh, thank you, James. 842 subs now. Very good. Yeah. So last night Tiggs mentioned I think the Ford we're trying to reignite the flames with Cadman, which I think a few people already alluded to. But yeah, and then it's just waiting to see how things play out. But make sure you go check it out. It was only a 25-minute one, so it was well worth it. Go check it out on YouTube. All right, so we will start talking about the game that we had on the weekend, Richmond versus Fremantle. The Dockers, 16-9-105, defeated Richmond, 7-12-54 by 51 points. Look, it was a game of two halves, wasn't it, really? Very keen to hear everybody's thoughts on what they thought of the two halves. No worries at all, Ben. Oh, listen from Abu Dhabi, Danny. Very nice. Welcome from Abu Dhabi. I felt like the first quarter, and it'd be interesting to see what you guys all think as well. The first quarter, it felt like we were under the pump for a lot of it, and we just couldn't sort of break the shackles. But that second quarter, we were getting a lot of inside 50s. There's a lot of repeat entries, and I kind of felt like we were dominating the quarter, but we just couldn't kick that goal, could we? I think we got like 5 behinds in that second quarter, and everyone who was watching the game knew exactly what was going to happen, that we were going to bust our ass for 15 to 18 minutes to get 5 points. They were going to go down and kick a goal and in their first attempt, which they did. And I think they kicked a couple in that third quarter. But that for me was probably the most frustrating part was that second quarter. We had plenty of chances to not put them on the ropes, but to really apply some serious scoreboard pressure. We just couldn't finish it. We had no, and someone made a good point of this on Twitter before, we just had no finishers, no one who could actually finish off the good work. And again, it kind of really highlighted our lack of connection from the midfield to the front half of the ground is non-existent. But keen to hear what everyone's thoughts were on the game. He's on TV tonight, says Lee. Made a reference to perhaps losing a player or two at the end of the year. I mean, I don't think that would be a surprise of any kind. Dusty says, Uzo said Dustin's weighing up retirement or leaving him to another club. I think it'll be retirement. Seriously, like we said last night, there's actually no need for Dusty at Gold Coast, to be honest. But anyway, All right, looking at the goal kickers for us, Shea Bolton kicked four. It was actually really good to see Bolton step up and play a really important role, even though we obviously didn't win the game. That's probably the best game he's played for us for quite some time, and it's probably the level that we kind of hope to see a bit more often. Other than that, Timmy Taranto won, Nankervis won, Mansell won. Nank's had an extraordinary month of football. It probably didn't dawn on me until I was looking at Supercoach scores today. Not the Supercoach scores are the be-all and end-all of players' form lines, but Nank's had a really, really good month. I think he's I think he's almost leading the comp in a lot of areas, especially Supercoach-wise. But on the weekend, he had 36 hitouts, 11 clearances, 7 tackles, 4 marks, 26 disposals, 1 goal, 1 behind. That's as good of a game from a ruckman that you can see. I mean, that's the kind of leadership that you want to see from your captain. He doesn't need to do these stupid going over the line too much and getting himself in trouble. I really did think that Nank's game was quite substantial, as has been his last month. So keen to see what people have thought about Nank's last month. Or could he win the best and fairest, Travis? Good call. It's not out of the realms of possibility, because you've got to remember the criteria that the club uses are probably vastly different to what we all see and what we all want for someone to happen. But he would definitely feature top five. David Nank's had one of his best years. Yeah, he definitely has. Yeah, and that RFC, that's what actually shocked me. Again, I know that Supercoach isn't the be-all and end-all, but Nank is now actually the most expensive ruckman in Supercoach, which is crazy. He's had a very, very good month. And his leadership's been exceptional. And if he can lead like that week in, week out, you literally can't ask for much more. So, and I feel like he probably doesn't get the plaudits he deserves there. Who else's game did we like? Kaczynski, I thought, had a really good game. This could be a little bit polarizing. I know some people aren't a fan of Kaczynski in the side, but I really do think that this was another step up from his game the previous week. He had, 11 disposals, 6 marks, 8 hitouts, 2 clearances. But I think what impressed me with Kaczynski is it felt like he released the shackles on himself a little bit. Like, he was actually attacking the contest really hard. If he wasn't marking it, he was bringing it to ground. Yeah, he made some mistakes, and yeah, there was probably some he could have done a bit better on. But if you look at, you know, week on week on week, it was a much, much better performance and greater output than what we've seen so far. So I don't think you can knock him for that kind of a performance. I mean, there's a lot of other players that are having down games as well. But I really liked seeing him attack the contest. I felt that in weeks prior, he seemed a bit reserved. Maybe he didn't know what he was doing or where he was meant to be, but he kind of looked like a bit more at home and knew what he was doing a bit more. So that was, and he was working hard. Exactly right, David. He was working hard. Tiggs had a bout of rehab today for his recovery on the injury, and it just took a bit out of him. So he had to pass on tonight, but he was on last night for a trade special if you want to head out and check out the YouTube. And this is a good call, JW. The biggest knock on him was he did have a shot for goal that he completely sliced out in the full. And if you're playing key forward, when we don't have a lot of key forward options, we really need them to be converted, because we're not getting a lot of chances, so we need to try and make the most of the ones that we're getting. So, but I did. I truthfully liked his game. I thought he was really, really good. Jacob Blight, I thought, again, was very good for a second gamer. And I thought he was really hard done by being subbed. What does everyone else think? Was everyone else shocked that he was subbed off? I mean, I suppose you can argue for tactical reasons, but I maybe would have gone maybe Cumberland before I would have gone Blight, to be honest. So Blight, he had 13 disposals, 4 marks, 1 tackle, but he there was a couple of times he got those really good last-ditched effort spoils in that are really hard to do without giving away a free kick. And I just feel like he has settled in really well, and I was truthfully quite shocked he was subbed. Unless he was having cramp or issues like that, then I can maybe understand it. But, yeah, I didn't quite know why he was subbed. And Travis, you probably are right, that he was probably completely cooked by the end of it, which would make sense. But I was probably thinking more in front of his home crowd. Maybe they would have left him on for the whole game. But Look, I think I know it's early days. It's two games in for a mid-season draftee, but I don't think it's too outlandish to say maybe we've found one there. What do you guys think? Are you happy with the progress of Blight? Do you see a future in our back line? I think he complements the back line quite well. Oh, he would undoubtedly have been sub, Mel, when he was sub. Everyone would be, but especially when all your mates and stuff are in the crowd too. But look, if he was cooked, he was cooked. It is what it is. Tracy did have a pretty good game, didn't he? What, he kicked five goals or something like that? But it's been a bit of a baptism of fire for Blight over his first two games. But I think he's done well. Yeah, I like him. He does have a bright future, Tiger Pop. I'm with you 100% of the way. I'm with you. He looks very, very good. Well, there's a good question from Greg. And I know it's a very Richmondy thing to do to put a defender forward, but given we're light on for forwards, I'm assuming you're talking about when Gibkiss and everyone's back, Greg. But when we've got a full list available, does the back line consist of Blight, Bolter, Miller? And do you put Gibkiss forward or do you leave Gibkiss down back and try Blight forward? Something kind of has to give there. I think we have to put one of them down there at some stage. Trezise in, that's a good call too. Blight will be a 200 gamer, Nathan. I like it. I like it. Big call, but I like it. Who else do we think had a good game? I'll have a look at the disposals. Timmy Taranto was workmanlike as always. Dan Rioli wasn't too bad. The only thing lacking from Dan Rioli's game on the weekend was the lack of meters gained. I think he only had 167, which wasn't very high. I thought Hopper was okay as well. 26 disposals, 5 clearances, 4 tackles. Good to see him at the bottom of the packs again, getting the ball out. I didn't mind Hopper. I think the Hopper-Taranto combination can work. It's just trying to get that last piece of the puzzle correct. So obviously McCall have spent some time in there, but he's still very young. I don't mind McCall if I think he's going to be a player for the future, but it probably wasn't his game. Graham with the tagging job on Sarong. I thought he did okay. I mean, Sarong still had quite a few possessions, but was everyone happy to see Graham doing a tagging role again? I know we did ask that question on Twitter during the week if we would tag. I probably didn't expect it in the Freo game, to be honest. But yeah, I thought Graham did okay. Graham did okay. Baker's worst game for the year. It wasn't a cracking one for him. Hugo needs a mention. Where's Hugo stats? Hugo, 14 disposals, 1 mark, 2 clearance. Oh, no, that's the wrong player. 3 clearances, 379 meter gained. He had some good moments, didn't he? I think I put out there that when Hugo is able to get the ball into space, he's actually super hard to catch. He's got quite a lot of pace. Had some turnovers, but he did have some good moments as well. Look, I think given if we're looking at like a span of 6 to 8 weeks, I think it's a huge tick, a huge pass mark for Hugo in that time frame. I think he has done more than enough to show that he's capable at AFL level. And he's someone we've got to keep persevering with as I fumble for headphones because CB has jumped on board. How are you, mates? Welcome.
Hello, everybody. How are we?
Good, yourself.
What did I miss? I literally just missed it.
Just talking about the game. We're on to Hugo Ralph Smith. Bit of mixed review. Some people say he butchered it. The boys let him down. But I like that he at least has a dip and tries to show some dash and some dare and some running carry. And I think his body of work over the last, you know, maybe 7 or 8 weeks, I think is very telling for him.
I think we're on the path. We've got young blokes like Hugo, Seth Campbell, all those guys are going to have high-low performances. Some days are good. G'day, guys. Some days are good. Some games are going to be bad. And there's only one way that you're going to get 50 games into these guys, and that's play them. So we don't have a choice. And I don't know if you spoke about the VFL or not, but we only had 6 AFL-listed players in our VFL on the weekend. So who else are we going to play if it's not Hugo or Seth or... Yeah, whoever.
No, and like we said a few times, the aim of the game is to get some of these guys to 50 games as quick as we can. And essentially this year is a little bit about Uze finding out what he does and doesn't have to work with in the years moving forward. So given the the circumstances of the year, it's basically a free hit for him to trial these kids for as long as he needs to see. But I think Hugo's more than showed his worth.
Well, the question on Uze, how do you really assess his year when he hasn't had a team to, you know, the team he wanted? How do you assess him? It's very, very hard. And as you and I have discussed earlier today, I just think last year and a half we had the distractions of Damien Hardwick. Now we've got the distraction of Brendan Gale. And it just seems a little bit of dysfunction off the field can sometimes lead to a bit of dysfunction on the field. So there's a hell of a lot. The last 2 years, there's been a hell of a lot going at Richmond with the changeover of changing of the guard. And Uze to me gets a leaf pass purely based on the disgraceful performance of our performance team and strength and conditioning, I should say. And we have to just get through the next six rounds and reset.
100%. And I mentioned this last night on the trade one, but I've seen a lot of chat on Twitter and Big Footy and things like that. A lot of people calling for Uze's head, and it just blows my mind that you can make that kind of call that early. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened to our footy club this year that have been completely out of his control. Like, you can't control the injuries that have happened. I know the strength and conditioning guys maybe could have managed it better for sure. The presidency stuff, Brendan Gale leaving, a whole raft of things that have happened that is beyond Uze's control. That I don't think that it's fair to judge him harshly this year. For me, I think the judgment starts... I mean, you wouldn't want the same thing happening again next year. But from 25, 26, 27 is when I think it starts to count. And the other big thing as well, when a new coach gets a job at a club as a head coach, 9.5 times, maybe even 10 times out of 10, that there's always a clean out of the existing assistants and the incoming coach brings in his team that he wants with him. Now, in this situation, because of maybe how Dimmer was committing to the club but was maybe doing something else behind the back type thing, the assistants that he had were already contracted. So Rutten and Teague and a few others were already having to stay in their chair for this year because of soft cap and contract reasons. So Uze hasn't actually had the chance to bring in his squad. And I'm just starting to wonder, is the cohesion not there in the coaching box? Because you've got two guys who were former senior coaches there now trying to work alongside Uze. Are they maybe trying to have too much input now versus when they were under Dimmer, where Dimmer was experienced, he knew what he wanted him to do, and they kind of followed his lead. But are they trying to both take the lead in different areas and there's a bit of confusion amongst the players?
Look, I think, we had a lot of new coaches come in as well. There was a clean out of some of the coaches. So, I just think the guys haven't had a run at it. And to be honest with you, I think... maybe the playing group is a little unsettled with the talk around Dusty and Baker. Maybe that's impacting a bit more behind the scenes that we know of as well. So, interesting. I've had a couple of people ask us about the clean out. So, what I've been told sort of runs a little bit against what Tiggs has said. And I'm not saying Tiggs is incorrect by any stretch of the imagination, but my understanding is there is... Uze does want to clean house a little bit to get his stamp on the club. So, maybe Tiggs and I, what we're both saying, we'll meet in the middle somewhere. I don't know. But certainly, what I listened to the show last night, and well done on the Sunday show. It was a good performance. I'm hearing there's going to be some changes. And I've got a 50% chance of being right. That's the good news. Take those odds at Crown.
There does need to be some changes. I think we just have to be careful. When I say changes, I'm now talking back about player changes. You just have to be careful not to go full North Melbourne and completely gut all your leadership and everything. I think you've got to pick and choose. And also some of the players that have been mentioned, like your Boltons and Rioli's, are still contracted. So they're a little bit harder for people to acquire. And if they want to acquire them, they've pretty much got to put up an offer we can't refuse, which is going to be well into our favour. Baker's the obvious one that's still, you know, even Tig said last night that his mate still doesn't believe that he'll go, but he does believe, well, at the moment he's not going, but does believe that he is torn on the decision. But nothing's just been done one way or another, but the gut feel is he'll stay. But Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But I think clean-out wise, definitely from an assistant perspective, I think Teague and Rutten, as much as they've done, you know, some okay work for us under Dimmer, probably do need to move on just to give Uze some fresh air and a real crack at it, because he'll have people in mind that he wants to bring in. And I think it just then becomes important that whoever the assistants are beating to the same drum of Uze's, not here's Uze's ideas, but we're going to put our own spin on it. It's kind of like if you've got a CEO who wants the company to run one way, but then all the execs under him who are managing staff take a little twist on it and do something their own way, and that doesn't quite add up. So that's why I think I'm not saying anyone here's not giving Uze the slack he needs, but for anyone who's wanting to put him on the chopping block, I think we've got to hold fire.
Lee Williamson's just raised there. I didn't see the thing with Uze tonight on 360, but she just sort of, there you go. I didn't see it. So maybe what I've heard there is a little bit to it. So yeah, good points. Another thing I'll ask the audience: do you want to keep pick one, or would you prefer it if someone, say, another club officer, say, pick 6 and 16 or something like that? Would you give them pick one? Would people consider it? Me personally, no. I would rather offload a Bolton or a Baker to get that first round pick, but I want to keep pick one. That's my personal take. I will physically spew up if we give pick one up. Do not give this pick up, Richmond, whatever you do. This is our one shot at the golden ticket. We haven't had this in 15 years. Do not blow this.
I suppose it depends on, what the split is. If you are to split it, if it's splitting it to two other picks inside the top 10, I think it's something that all clubs would consider if they felt they could still get the player that they wanted. And I think the only reason why you wouldn't is if the number one pick is like a Harley Reid. Now, Smiley, I know he's been touted as one of those top one or two players. I don't know if he's like a Harley Reid comparison, or is he a step under? I'm not too sure. There might be more educated people in here that know that than me. But it is tantalizing to hold on to pick one. But if clubs are going to come knocking with two first round picks inside the top 10, maybe you do listen.
But that's my point. If you can keep pick one, but then trade out a couple of one player, I wouldn't say Baker and Bolton. I would do one of them. If you can get that extra top 10 pick in there, that's where you go. You know, that would be ideal. And keep in mind too, with the changes coming up, I believe, so they are going to change some of the back end picks, but not as deep as originally thought. And now you'll be able to future trade 2 years into your first round draft picks. So there may be some wrangling around that, but don't trade the pick one, please, Richmond.
And RFC Centre just said that keep pick one, Smiley is generationally talented, think a taller version of Reid. Now, if we're talking that kind of player, then lock and load it. Don't do a thing with it. I just wasn't sure what his scope was or what his development was like, but that's, And this is like we were talking about today on the phone, that, you know, you've got to think what we built our club around during our successful period. There's a Rance, a Cochin, a Martin, a Riewoldt, and that's what we have to now find. We have to find our new set of those players to go forward again. And I'm not sure we've got any of them in the side right now. I mean, Bolton could be one when everything's firing. Rioli could be something of that type when all things are firing. But yeah, there's still just a few little bits and pieces missing to sort of throw yourself back up into contention again.
So and also from what I've heard, the draft is very good to about pick 25, 30. It's a very, and the top 10 midfielders are excellent. So they say it is a good draft haul this year. So anyway, just something to think about, guys, because one thing we do know, we are looking at either pick one or pick two. That is fact. So,
and to that question, I guess, Nick, does anyone else see us winning a game? And look, I'm not at all promulgating that we throw games. I just think based on exposed form, we aren't playing well enough to win the games we've got left anyway. I would say on exposed form right now, the Kangaroos are playing better than us, as are Gold Coast. The only thing that may stop it happening is if they want to lose more than we want to win. And I don't think our players ever go out there and not want to win. I just don't think we're playing well enough to beat any of those teams.
Just a message to Jason Valentine there, aka football. See you next Wednesday, Jason. Just that's all I'm saying. See you next Wednesday at pre-season, having our first hit at Maui Indoor.
Maui Indoor, Jesus.
it's an amazing facility, amazing cricket facility. So, yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
They even Daniel's coming down there training this year. It's a good, very good facility. But anyway, where were we?
Was there any other thoughts on the game, the Freo game? Otherwise, I did put out a tweet and a message on Facebook for people to give us some of their okay, now hear me outs, just to see what some of the we'll go through some of those. We'll go through some of the okay, now hear me outs. So we've got from Dan on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it first. Okay, now hear me out. I know sitting on the bottom sucks, but let's be honest. We've had a great run. Now it's time to stock up on talent. There's going to be a lot of change. It might take a little while, and they won't get everything right, but let's all be here for the next ride. I think that's a good call, especially the last point, the let's all be here for the next ride. No one likes being last, but I think for me it's a different feeling than when a team's usually last, because if we had our, you know, best 22 playing each week and we're still playing this bad and still getting smacked, that would feel a hell of a lot worse than what we've actually gone through. Like, there's actually some genuine circumstance and reason as to why we are where we are. And some people will call it excuses. I say it's valid reasons, and it makes it a little bit easier to swallow. But, yeah, make sure you're there for the next ride.
Hear me out. Rocco's on the money. We will win one more game. And I'm telling you, by the time, if we could just get a couple of players back, Collingwood's the game that we can actually get. Hear me out. Pies will be our last win of the year.
Get it against the Pies? Jesus, yep. Wouldn't that be something to knock off the Pies?
Yeah, I'm with you, Rocco. That's the one. Hear me out. Pies.
That would be very interesting. I mean, I would have liked to have knocked off Carlton personally, but can't get them all. Sergio's got hit. But I don't know if this is a hear me out or not, but it's more of a can anyone explain our game plan? That's assuming we actually have one. Now, Tiggs has kind of alluded a little bit to this, that it's kind of like high school or mid-teen football where it's just boot it and scrum it forward as best you can. Going forward of centre, there definitely doesn't look like any rhyme or reason with what we're doing, which is a little bit frustrating, and it shows. But this is kind of where I go back to that I'm a little bit worried that there's maybe no cohesion in the coach's box, which is then translating onto the field. So maybe the game plan's not being adhered to because maybe the players just simply don't understand what needing to be done. Maybe there's mixed messages.
No, I don't think we've got the cattle. But I will say this. Is there any chance when we're doing a kick out, can we just not kick it 15 metres into a pocket then blast it long? Is there any chance we can actually change the record and just try something a little different? Because
I actually think we went away from that against Fremantle, because I specifically put out a tweet about a drinking game for every time we go short to the pocket to Miller. I don't think we did it once. I was watching Shorty kicking it 55 metres down the middle. I'm like, what's going on? They're not doing it now. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe they read my tweet. I thought, we'll show this guy. But I would say every other game for the year, it is kick to the Miller in the pocket, then down the line, and the ball comes back in.
I would rather, you know what? I would rather Nick Vlosten try a fucking Torrey from the edge of the square to the middle of the ground, because it's coming back. We go the other way, it's coming back at us anyway. Do something.
Just throw it down the guts.
Try something, for God's sakes.
I don't mind it.
Chip it to a guy 15 out and then blast it down the line for an intercept mark and it comes back in and we're all out of position.
Yeah, it's rinse and repeat. I wouldn't mind seeing the torp down the middle too. Just unleash it. Who cares? What have we got to lose? Just go for it. Another one from Steve-O on Twitter. Okay, hear me out. My sources are telling me several high-profile media commentators will hand in their media accreditation after their Dusty and Rioli rumours fall over. Wow. Wouldn't that be something, Steve? That happened. My goodness. That would be...
I had someone challenge me on... Like, I posted... I talked about Gold Coast. Rioli. I tell you the one thing, if you don't know about Wayne Campbell. Now, Wayne Campbell come out and refuted it. And Nick Ruarkis, Nick R will tell you this. if ever there's a guy who's a no bullshit merchant and does not mince words and is not a liar, Wayne Campbell is a pretty straight down the line kind of guy. And if he says they haven't spoken to them and has called it out, I'd be inclined to believe Wayne, because Walker does not mess around.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was just literally up there for a holiday. That is about it. So, but it would be interesting if they handed in some accreditations, if they got it wrong. And this is where, and I get the side of the coin where people say, don't give them airtime, don't, you know, peddle their shit or whatever. But if it doesn't eventuate, I'm telling you now, they're going to be copping slaps left, right, and center from me on Twitter. We've got receipts and we're going to call it out. And the more people that get behind it, and I'll try and hold them to account, the better. Because it's just rubbish. They can carry on with this stuff.
Danny's trying to bait me. People are trying to bait me in this chatter. I'm not going there, Danny. I just,
why not? What are your thoughts, CB?
Day for me to go apeshit. I'm trying to be calm.
Did you listen to clickbait? No, they shouldn't, Aaron. But look, I think it's good to call it out, though. If it's bullshit, call it out. On to Facebook now. Daniel Eagle. Okay, hear me out. And this is a really interesting one. Petrarca may be dirty on the D's, and the D's need a forward. Lynch and a pick to Melbourne, and we get a big grunt min in Petrarca. It's interesting. I'm not saying that Daniel's saying that's factual. I'm just saying that based on how they treated his injury, it's actually an interesting concept.
It's an interesting concept, but I'll say this. Has Dustin Martin returned ever since he had his kidney busted in half by Mitch Robinson?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's that's going to be a nasty one to come back from.
Yeah, and that was terrible what Melbourne did there. That was disgraceful.
Yeah, that was pretty negligent, to be honest. From Warren Miller on Facebook. Okay, hear me out. Why does our VFL team seem to have a game plan and play with much more endeavour? It's a good question, and I've seen this similar type of question pop up a little bit about, well, if our AFL team's playing like shit, then why is the VFL team winning with hardly anyone there? And I think the answer lies within that Steve Morris has been at the helm for a number of years now, and he's got a culture, he's got a set game plan, a set game style. And I think the other thing as well to note, and this is not being disrespectful between the two levels of football, but the difference between AFL level and VFL level from a player perspective is very, very, very large. So when we've got all these VFL or all these sort of second string guys and young kids playing at AFL level against AFL clubs, the difference is much more noticeable than when VFL top up players are playing at VFL level against VFL clubs. So I think from that front, it's easier for Morris to manage. And we've said plenty of times here, CB, that Steve Morris has done an extraordinary job given what the cards he's been dealt. He's making it work. And like you said to me today on the phone, was it the Bull Ants? They should hang their head in shame for getting dumped by as much as they did on the weekend against us.
What the hell's going on with the Bull Ants? They're getting done by a team. Look, we can't praise Steve Morris and the work he's doing with the VFL program enough. And to be honest, it's very reminiscent of the work that Flybags did with their VFL team. It's got that same vibe about it to me. And long may it continue. And please, Richmond, do not leave Steve Morris go, because I think we've got a special coach coming up through there. He seems terrific. Terrific.
Yeah, he's done an extraordinary job. So, where did I see that comment? Oh, there we go, from Jacko. Corns on radio tonight reckons that we were gifted three flags. Good old Karen Corns. What a knob. Gifted three flags. Yeah, because playing up in Queensland for over 100 days in a confined area was gifted.
It's come from Kane Corns, mate. It's got no relevance in my world.
True. From Clyde on Facebook. Okay, hear me out. We need to get Sam Davidson on our list, which I believe he's in our VFL side. Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about that. Now,
Simon Wallace highlighted this guy as well.
Now, is this in realms of drafting him with a draft pick at some point, or is this let's wait and try and get him as a top-up supplement player, or what's the thought process?
If he's available, if he's nominated himself for the draft and we've got pick 75 and we pass and he's available, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's worth a shot. He's playing some very good football.
Okay, so worth having having a go at. All right, well, I might have to try and keep an eye out for him. Now, this one, we should have bought out our tinfoil hats for this one because I really like this from Karina on Facebook. Hear me out. Uze has slowed the boys down to prevent any more injuries, and now with number one pick, there's no point playing too hard. It also lulls the media into a false sense of security. I like it. I like the tinfoil hat. Hear me out. They're very good.
It just, honestly, the system rewards this. This is the great socialist model. So we'd be absolutely dumb as dog poo to not utilize this. I'm with it, mate. Let's like to remember Terry Wallace famously said he had against that game in St Kilda when Trent Cotchin was up for grabs, and he could have made moves to try and win the game, but he intentionally didn't tank. He just didn't make moves to win the game necessarily. And it got us Trent Cotchin. So, Adam, there's something to learn from that.
Well, what do you reckon? Like, obviously, NBA, for example, have got the lottery system where the team who finishes last isn't guaranteed to get the top pick. In fact, I think this year, the team who got the number one pick had like a less than 5% chance from getting it drawn out. So they weren't obviously the shittest team, but they still got the number one pick.
Yeah, but would you want Sydney getting the number one draft pick in the lottery this year?
No, not so much. I'm not saying to incorporate the whole league, but if you took the bottom, you know, five or six clubs, for example, I don't know whether it's a lottery or I know people have suggested even if the bottom four or six had like a almost like a mini round robin playoff type thing to play for the number one pick. So you actually are trying to win games to win the right to the number one pick. So it actually rewards better effort. I'm just throwing out different ideas
Would you be happy if we could get the number one pick and we rock up into this must win game for the number one pick and we've got six VFL listed players playing because their injuries we're decimated.
Yeah, that's probably the outlier, isn't it? That if you are bottom because you've got no players left, then you're probably not going to have yourself a good enough chance to get the pick. But it would be interesting.
Adzi's got it right. Adzi's right.
A lottery would not help some clubs. Yeah, I'm not saying opening up to the whole comp. You would have to segment it off so the bottom clubs are still getting the best chance possible of getting it. But I think you just got to – I think we need to try and find a way to not reward – I'm not saying people are tanking, but you don't want to run the risk of it. And I know we've been in a unique spot. It's always interesting to see what other ideas are around there. I'll never stop Kano. I'll never stop throwing around bullshit ideas.
If I hear him talk about wild card finals, I'm turning off. I'm walking out of the room. I don't want to hear any more Americanisms. Oh, can we talk about, can I get on a blood bath? Can I get
you
on
mentioned,
one?
You mentioned Rory Lobb and I'm getting a slap for throwing out ideas. Jesus. Right. Yeah, go on.
I'll give you one.
Go on.
Have we discussed Stephen Hawking? Have we discussed Stephen Hawking?
I saw the comment above and I'm like, oh, we've got to mention that. You go.
So Stephen Hawking has complained about people belly aching about the state of the game.
You can't screw
kind of sure. As Simon Walsh said it best, it's like the arsonist. What was it? The arsonist complaining about the fire. Like the guy who actually manufactured this garbage that we see today, which is basically basketball between the arcs with Stern. The actual architect of this is now complaining that people say, actually, it is shit and it's done nothing for scoring. Just remarkable stuff, actually tone-deaf stuff and arrogant stuff from Stephen Hawking, which shows you the type of arrogant, moronic prick he really is.
Like, was it a troll comment? Sure, he couldn't be serious. I mean,
he was dead serious.
He single-handedly introduced two bullshit rules to stop a single side and has now since been proven to not have made the game any better, despite us being fed all this bullshit data that it's going to increase more goals and this, that, and the other, and it hasn't done a single thing. And yeah, now he's complaining. It's quite astonishing. And you know, as much as supporters from different clubs have their bitter rivalness with each other and the banter on socials, when you see a post like that and you click on the comments and everyone unites, it does give you a warm, fuzzy feeling when you see everyone just piling in, calling it all out.
Nicholas Benson, I would like to talk about his point. So, I've had numerous discussions with one of my brothers about this. Why is it it's only Richmond players mentioned in the media, like a Rioli, Bolton, Baker, Dusty for 15 years. Why have we never seen anything about other clubs' players? Why do you never see anything about a Pendlebury or Selwood at the time or Tom Hawkins? Maybe Tom Hawkins wants to get another 2 years out of his football life. Why, you know, why do we, why is it only Richmond players that want to leave the club? Why don't they ever talk about other big name club players? Can anyone answer me that?
It's a good question. I think David's probably on the money with the answer, to be honest, because Richmond sell papers. And I think I would say that that's 80 to 90% of the reason, because we've got the fan base that our own supporters are going to get up in arms about it, rightly or wrongly. And everyone else just loves to hate us. It's, yeah. It's a good point, though. It's a very good point. You never, yeah, very, very rarely hear other players wanting to leave to explore options at the end of their careers and things like that.
And furthermore, while we're talking about all things Dustin Martin, so Beveridge, his head's on the block. Collingwood, the reigning premiers aren't even in the top eight currently.
Yeah, they're outside. Yep, they're outside.
They're outside the eight. Carlton have lost two in a row. Ken Hinckley has had an up and down performance. He's pulled the last two out of the fire. Do you reckon there's some bigger football stories out there that people could write about other than Dustin Martin to Gold Coast? Do you reckon just in the wider sphere there's a lot more interesting things going on, and yet for some reason Dustin Martin can trump all these stories that journalists should be, if they are worth anything, journalists should be going after and exploring and digging deep?
There's a few other stories out there, isn't there? But yeah, 100% there is. Sales papers. While we're on media stories, did everyone see the proposed plans for the new Tassie Stadium? Did you see that, CB?
No, mate. I've maybe handful, mate. The missus has been away for a week and a half, and as you can see, I'm in struggle city, mate.
It was. I think the bottom line is they need to have a roofed stadium down at Tasmania. It looks pretty. I mean, it's only just a concept drawing, I suppose, but yeah, it looks not too bad. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But I'd rather hear more about that stuff, about the game growing and developing, than about a player who's 34 potentially moving to another club. But yeah, there we go. All right, let's move on to the game we've got ahead this week against the Giants, who they had a pretty good win against Carlton because the Blues were in pretty good form. They won by 12 points, and the Giants are kind of fighting for their life. Not number one to stay in the top eight, but I think they would feel internally that they are a top four side. I mean, I certainly thought they were going to finish top four at the start of the season. So they've slipped a little bit along the way, but we've got them here at the G on Sunday. I think it's at 3:20 PM. First of all, the changes that we might have, CB. I think we come away from that game uninjured against Fremantle. Did we? I think we got away. Something will happen during the week though. But is Lynch coming?
I was going to say, I'm tapping wood. Why'd you say that?
I know. Just say that. Is Lynch meant to come back this week? Is he due for return?
He's still a couple of weeks away, from what I understand. So hopefully we'll get Martin and Prestia back. If Prestia gets through training this week, he's in. So I'd say you'll get Martin and Prestia back, but we won't get Lynch back for another couple.
So if Martin and Prestia are coming in, who would miss?
Well, it's interesting because Banks has been coming on a sub and been going okay.
I feel like, unfortunately, McAuliffe might be one that does.
No, I'll give you one. I'm terribly sorry. I've never bagged this kid out, but I'm finally going to put a red line through him. Noah Cumberland, sorry, mate. Survivor style, I'm snuffing your torch.
The tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken. That's one out.
Well, he seems to be the like-for-like replacement for Dusty. So that's probably one combo for Dusty. But then if Prestia comes in, who are we thinking for Prestia?
Well, there's been a few saying that maybe Seth Campbell is a bit tired. So maybe Banks comes in. I don't know.
Dusty's still sore.
Maybe McAuliffe goes to sub. McAuliffe goes to sub. Prestia in. Yeah, I don't know. But,
and where's so Morris 1 week away? Because I really think we were saying before that our small forge just aren't what they used to be. It's not the same mosquito fleet that we used to have. They just don't have that killer instinct. And I know Morris hasn't exactly set the world on fire from a goal kicking perspective, but his pressure and his chasing, his harassing and perceived pressure is through the roof. And I think we've sorely missed it. So I'm kind of looking forward to him coming back. I think he adds a good dimension to the forward line.
I think Marlon Pickett's still a couple away as well.
Marlon Pickett, okay. Well, does he get back in though?
Depends on the injuries, mate.
Yeah, there could be a spot. There could be a spot there waiting. This is a good call from JD. Trezise, I would like to see him play as well. I think that's a pretty good call. Yeah. Who would he come in for though?
That's probably a defender, right?
and that's the best part of the ground.
It's the only part where, have you spoken about, so Blight, how did people see Blight's game?
Everyone liked him. Everyone's pretty wrapped with Blight and reckon he's got a good future. Maybe I was a bit peeved that he got subbed, but maybe he was a bit gassed. Second game, he's only been playing AFL for 2 weeks, so he could be a bit tired. But a few people saying rest Broad for Trezise.
Nah,
or Shorty. Wouldn't. No, I wouldn't do Broad personally.
K-Mac. I mean, K-Mac and Hugo on the wings have been okay. I don't know. I just think that the two ins will be pressed here, Martin. Combo out, and it's a question how you shuffle the deck chairs around that. I think that's probably where it sits.
Yeah, and I know he did kick four, David, but for a guy in his second game, there were still a lot of other things he did pretty well in and amongst all that too. So I'm prepared to give him a bit of slack for having four kicked on him, especially when we're 18th and they're second or third, whatever they are.
Well, we've come off two top. I missed the other thing too. We've come off playing two top four teams. One guy's leading to Coleman in that. Yeah, I mean, like it's been a pretty big baptism of fire for Jacob Blight to come in those circumstances. He goes from playing waffle to standing Charlie Curnow. Pretty significant.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
And this week you'll probably have Hogan.
Yeah, he would. He's in pretty good form too.
Or is it Riccardi? Well, you'll have one of those guys.
Well, he kicked five or six last week, Hogan. So he's in very good form. Brown, a lot of people saying that Brown's been the shining light for us, which I definitely agree with. A few people floated, would you move Brown to a wing to just release the shackles a bit? And maybe that's a way to get Trezise in to the back line. I think Brown looks too short down back. But
Nick's raised one, but I think he does a lot of good things that the coaches like. I can't see Mansell getting dropped as much as you need. This is the problem we've got. If some of our defaults, are they almost too defensive and they're not scoring enough?
Yeah.
Do you risk it with a guy like Steely Green or Coulthard coming in? I don't know.
It's just a big issue, isn't it? Because our front six, just bar Bolton when he's playing up there, just don't seem to have that unique goal sense and that ability to just score. Not, I would say easily, but with ease. This is where, and I said to you on the phone, this is where Juddy Clark would have been perfect. I know he's out with a knee injury, but he has some seriously good goal sense and he gets foot to ball very, very quickly. So we're kind of missing someone like a Juddy Clark, but we've just got no other good firepower up front.
Just to answer Luana, I apologise if I got your name wrong there, Luana. He copped a massive knee against 2 weeks ago in the ribs and the resis and got hurt and got taken off. So to be honest, I don't know if he's got busted ribs or not. I don't know what his status is, but he didn't play on the weekend. He got hit really, like just one of those awkward knees against Carlton, knees straight in the ribs, absolutely nailed him in the third. So yeah, not sure where he's at.
Yeah, so that's in relation to Bauer, who I think we all want to see play, but unless he's 100%, there's no point in rushing him because there's nothing, you don't want to make it worse or pick up another little niggling injury from it. But I think it's fair to say, though, that whenever he's 100% fit and he's got the appropriate match minutes under his belt, I think he would come straight back in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, there are some people keep calling for change. So maybe, I don't know, maybe do give Mansell a spell in the resis and bring another guy in. I don't know. We've got nothing to lose.
Vanders with a good point on have to play Coulthard for a few games, see what he can do. Yeah, I think he had a good VFL game. I'm not sure if it was this week or the week before, but coming off the back of a bad VFL game. So it's kind of good to see him pick himself up and get back to work. So he's got a bit of toe, and maybe he's the one who might have a bit more goal sense, and maybe he does make things a bit more lively and dangerous. It's worth a shot. I think it's definitely worth having a look at. So,
yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, where that will lead for him. All right. Well, with that said, let's do the tip, including margin. Make sure you send them through in chat as well. We'll post a few up. Who's going to win CB and by how much?
Yeah, it's funny. People are going to accuse me of being a troll here, but I'm actually not. I'm actually going to tip the Tigers by about 5 points.
Oh, okay. Okay. Based on what are we doing differently this week?
I think we can get them around the middle. If Hopper, Taranto and Presti play with Nankervis, who's in career best form, I think we can get him in. And again, we haven't spoken about him or haven't heard us talk about him. But again, Cozzy, another good game.
Yeah, I did flag him. He was very good.
Yeah, so Cozzy's providing a target up there. So you never know. But I think our smalls are where it's at. They've got to hit the scoreboard. And our midfield needs to try and hit the scoreboard a bit as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Giants might get up by 20 to 25. But, you know, if we have another one of those 10 to 15-minute spurts like we did against Fremantle, we just need to make sure we convert chances. Like, you can't have that many repeat inside 50s and not score a goal. It's just demoralising to then see the other team walk it up their first time inside 50 and get a goal. Because that, you could see it just deflated everyone, that we'd busted our ass in 15 minutes and no results. So, look, anything's possible, but the Giants' midfield does worry me a bit, especially with Tom Green being a contested beast. And you've got Toby Green up forward, and Hogan's in good form, so it'll be an interesting game. But being at the G, who knows? So we'll make sure we get out there and in good voice, and we'll hopefully try and get over the line. That's a good point as well, Andrew. If it's a wet game, that makes things a bit different. It's always an interesting factor to consider too. All right, Stevie, thank you for jumping on, mate. Much appreciated. I know that you have quite a bit on, so I appreciate taking the time out to jump on for a chat. Thank you to everyone else for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. Thank you for listening to my bubble for the first 25 minutes, whatever it was. But no, we got there in the end, and hopefully we'll be back on Monday, fingers crossed, with a win under our belt. I know we say that every week, and it tends to not happen, but just keep positive, keep faith, just wrap your head around about where we're actually at, what we're trying to hopefully do by getting some good talent in, and don't be too harsh on Uze. There's a lot of shit that he can't control that's happening, so let's just make sure we just take a deep breath and let's start maybe passing some judgment next year onwards when he's got a bit of a clean slate to deal with. So that's all we'll say. Oh, we'll answer this one from Jonathan. Thoughts on the Heaney incident? I know it's not Richmond-based, but...
Didn't say it.
It's an interesting one, Jonathan, because last year that was deemed reckless and you would have got a fine, and then the interpretation of the rule changed to being deliberate. Oh, I kind of feel like the St Kilda player almost contributed to the outcome because he sort of slipped down and his head was like quite low. I don't think Heaney was trying to hit him in the head, but yeah, he copped a week. I'm no doubt they will appeal that to try and get him off, and they probably will. And then Rankin got 4 weeks for a bit of a shirt front off the ball. So that's really stuffed my super coach good and proper, because Gorn's out for 2 or 3 weeks as well. So I've got 3 trades left. I'm up shit creek. And EJ is going well. EJ is doing well. So hopefully we'll have him back on at some point in the near future. But thank you again, CB, for jumping on tonight. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Like I said at the start, if you're on YouTube or if you have YouTube, make sure you go to our page. Drop a subscription on it. It's free, so it just helps boost the numbers up, gets us up the rankings, like the episodes, as we try and head towards 1,000. And make sure you get around us on Twitter and Facebook, everything else. And we look forward to seeing you all on Monday night. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.